Look at this. I got headphones on. I got a mic going. Baby.
If only people could see you now.
Hey, no video. We've gone through this before.
All right,
No
all right,
video.
all right. Welcome to This Commerce Life. This is a podcast aimed at small, medium entrepreneurs focused on commerce. I'm Phil, your host, and Kenny, your co-host, will join us as well. And we're going to talk to you about the world of retail and commerce and how things are changing in the world.
I took your coffee with me. It was great. I didn't get any pictures, though, because I didn't take your
dumbass. That was the whole point of taking the coffee.
I know. No, it wasn't. The whole point was to drink it while I was there, which is amazing.
What, is no good coffee in Mexico?
You know what's really funny? Mexico doesn't do... Okay, no. So the ground coffee there or the espresso coffee there is really good. But when you go to Mexican restaurants, you either get it black or you get a milk version of a coffee.
Yeah, like sort of that Asian thing where it's all milk creamed and sugared. And
yeah, they don't because they don't keep milk out, right? Because it's a hot environment. So I wound up asking for Americano or espressos and then coming back and asking for a little bit of milk on the side.
I know, but they don't get that.
Which they don't understand at all, right? And so the first time I went, you know, and like, I'm not Spanish, right? I speak Italian. So I was like, you know, espresso. And then I came back and I said, you know, poco leche, which is a
poco leche, milk, con leche. Right? And then come back with
poco leche. And they see this thing, right? And I'm like, they want my coffee. And I'm like, no, I don't want to give you my cup. Yeah. I just, can you give me or pour me a little or, you know, so I wound up drinking it black, right? Like Kathy doesn't drink it that way. So she kept asking for, you know, an espresso con leche, you know, so an espresso with milk. And she would get this like milky soup substance, right? Like,
well, Amelia does that because she likes a little milk, a little sugar. I said, stop ordering that.
Yeah.
Order a coffee. Plain coffee.
Yeah.
And then see if you can get lucky.
Yeah.
Get a dab of milk.
Yeah.
But remember, they're going to look at you thinking, what?
Yeah, are you crazy? Right?
I won't let you. Give me the coffee back. I'll make it. And
not
that brown water
or
milk in it. Not that.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I think it's hard, Kathy, for life, actually. I'm lucky, right? Because I can drink it black, right? So I'm done. Like, I'm done. Espresso or an Americano.
Yeah.
Don't put anything. Like, don't drop any crap in it, right?
No sugar, no milk.
Yeah.
I'm good to go.
Yeah.
Man. Funny.
Man. To our listeners, as you gather, we missed last week because I was in Mexico and I had a really crappy internet connection. So
we
recorded it. We wished you a Merry Christmas, but you didn't hear it. And you could barely hear my version of it. Kenny was very clear, but I wasn't at all. So we missed you guys last week, but Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, because this is going to launch on New Year's Day.
Yeah, so Happy New Year to you guys, and we wish you a very prosperous 2019.
It's going to be a good year.
And then if you have any big successes from 2018, we'd love to hear it. That would be a neat one to share on air, so if you have anything, definitely share it with us.
Or if you want any help for 2019,
yes,
let us know.
Yes,
We'll talk about it on the podcast, maybe walk through it, and maybe there'll be people out there listening that can chime in and help out.
Yeah. Yeah,
the city itself is pretty cool.
Yeah. The city's amazing. I mean, it's, I don't know, like, it's like the population of Canada in like something like 20, 25 square kilometers. Right. So it's super dense. It's super packed. It's, man, it's so many people. The traffic is unbelievable. But it's an amazing city. Yeah.
That's awesome. You got acclimatized at the end. Because you're pretty high up there.
Yeah, the altitude's crazy, eh? Like the first day or two, you feel it in your chest, and then the pollution that comes with it, you feel it in your chest and your sinuses. But after a couple of days, I got pretty used to it.
I guess you get used to it, right? Because they got to be, 7,000 feet? They got to be a mile and a half, I think, more or less.
Yeah. So 2,200 meters, which is something like 7,000 miles or something feet. Like that. Or 7,000 feet, sorry. 7,000.
Yeah, and then with the pollution, it probably just sits.
Yeah, it's kind of... I didn't... You know, my brother-in-law loves to play basketball, and so I didn't feel it the third day, and we decided to go play basketball, and that was such a bad idea.
Yeah.
I'm pretty in shape, but that was like, oh my God. Like, I just, played half a game, and I was like, look, I'm done. Like, I keep going. I could, you know, I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack, right?
Because
I
cough up a lung.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's okay, man. Now you're back and raring to go.
I'm back. I know. I'm all charged up and, you know, got some stuff done while I was gone, but back and raring to go. And I saw some really neat, I was down there. You know, North America talks about like department stores going away, but like Mexico has something like 3 major department stores that are just like killing it. Just killing it, which is amazing.
Are they killing it throughout Mexico, or is it?
Yeah, just in Mexico. I think it's a population thing too. I mean, at like 130 million people or whatever it is, you know, they can afford to do it. There's one called Liverpool that is, I don't know, it's ranked something like 15th or 20th in the world in terms of department stores, but it reminds me of the Eaton's.
Really?
Yeah. Similar story, you know, the whole bit. And then when you go in there, I was in the one in a mall called Santa Fe. And Santa Fe is unreal. Santa Fe shopping mall, which is just outside of Mexico City proper, has something like 8 floors in it.
Oh, wow.
Like the whole mall. So it was kind of like West Edmonton Mall or Eaton Center on steroids. So at an ice rink, bowling alley, theater at one end, literally 7 floors. And this department store was Liverpool was 8 floors. So it reminded me, you know, like at the bottom floor, they had ATVs, they had motorcycles on sale. They had, like, so literally
kind of the Harrods or old school Macy's.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think it is though? Like, I wonder if it's down there. I mean, because you got to remember, like, it's hard socioeconomically. Like, we live in a really rich country.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Canada especially. And I wonder sometimes if we don't need it. We don't need to hang out at a mall. We don't need that to, it's not a, like, I just sometimes wonder in these countries that are, you know, that have, I mean, it's not that Mexico's poor, but it's not as well off as we are, obviously. No.
Yeah.
So you start to wonder if that's maybe where people sort of hang, the way we used to all hang out in malls 30 years ago.
I think it's climate maybe. I mean, we were down there in the winter, so it was like 20 degrees out. That's cold for them, right? So they don't want to be outside. Yeah. And then in the winter, when it's kind of like 35 degrees out, they don't want to be outside either, right? So I think a mall works in that climate. You know what I mean? Like, for us, it doesn't work as much.
It would work in Montreal then, too. I mean, that's why they had the undergrounds, right?
Yeah.
I just still wonder, like, is it just, like, I wonder what killed the mall in North America.
I also think it's population density. Like, I think.
I guess it has to be, right?
Yeah. I mean, at 125 million people, you know, there's no disrespect, right? I think Mexicans do a really good job of retailing, but if you were a bad retailer, you could probably still make it.
You say, right? Well, it's no different, but I think when I go to China,
yeah,
like malls are mall-like things. Like in the subways, you know, they'll have those downstairs malls, and they're just a shit show. There are people everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's something to hear that I don't think we would think, I'm not doing this.
No. In China, you can afford that, right? So in China, there's so many people that come through your store. It's
the population again, right?
Yeah, they literally go, listen, like, you don't want it. Just get out, right? Like, just get out, right? Because there's like 10 people behind you and you're holding me up now.
Well, I guess Mexico's the same. If you got 37 to 40 million people, wherever they sit today.
Yeah.
You know, really?
Who the hell cares? Really?
Mexico.
Yeah. Who the hell cares, right? Like, get out, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You're right. You're literally like, please stay in my store, right? Like, you might be the only person I saw today because nobody else showed up.
Yeah, you know what? It's sort of sad to say, but yeah, you're right. It's like, I sometimes wonder though, like, I mean, it's something like even, it just, it, but everything's different when you leave here. Like, you know what we've talked about, like the old Queen West.
Yeah.
When it used to be really fun to shop and now it's not, it's not what it was, right?
Yeah.
But maybe all the cool places we just overdeveloped into, well, I don't know, whatever we developed them into, we've lost the neighborhood fun or feel. Like, there's still spots in Toronto, still spots in Vancouver.
Yeah.
But
But they're definitely different spots now. Like you go to Leslieville or
yeah, but yeah, even that's being gentrified at a ridiculously rapid rate.
Yeah,
I got a friend who lives down there.
Yeah,
right, and it's changed.
It's changed a lot. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. That's anyway, crazy, super cool. So super
cool retail thing. You did took your notes. Kathy, yeah. The kids are pissed at you for okay. Listen, you know, come on, Dad, let's read it.
You know what? Actually, the funniest thing is my brother-in-law, right? My brother-in-law was really worried, right? Like, he knows I'm a traveler, but, you know, Mexico City is different. Like, it is...
It can be very dangerous.
Yeah. So, it's kind of like wandering into the wrong U.S. neighborhood, except times about 40.
Yeah, and apparently, there's not... You could seriously get into trouble. Like, Trouble.
Yeah. Well, I mean... It's funny, right? Like, so when I was down in the kind of more popular areas, you could tell the tourists right away. Like, I got all sorts of instructions from them. So they were like, listen, like, leave all your jewelry at home. Yeah. I don't wear jewelry anyway, but like, no watches, no rings. Yeah, no, none of that stuff. No necklaces. Try and keep all the branding away. And then, you know, for the love of God, don't wear shorts. And I said, really? And he goes, yeah, locals don't wear shorts there. So I said, all right, you know, like, so throw on a pair of jeans, right? And, you know, sure enough, I'm walking down tourist street and there are, you know, kind of groups of tourists and you can tell they're tourists. Like they've got the, you know, the Osprey
camera on their neck,
the GoPro, you know, the shorts on. And there's kind of this weird, almost crowd, not following them, but stalking them a little bit. And some of them are just street side vendors, but you could tell that there are a handful of people that you're just like, wow, those guys mean like they're either looking for a moment to pickpocket or they're looking for a moment, you know, vulnerability, which was very, you know, uncomfortable, right? Like me looking at it going, wow, like that is crazy. And this is a good neighborhood, right? Like this is crazy. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But amazing city. So, and then I wound up going to like, local bodegas and I wanted to see like there's a really neat chain OXXO down there that's like a convenience store. They're a little bit like 7-Eleven, but they're huge, right? And so I wound up going out to check out a bunch of those. And that was giving my brother-in-law a heart attack, right? He was like, really, stop walking around. And I was like, no, I want to see, right? Like I want to see, you know, I want to see what happens in these places, right? And he's like,
yeah, but I guess what he's thinking is, I appreciate
you're gonna
that.
Get mugged or you know.
You know, yeah. I don't need the Canadian embassy trying to figure out how to get the hell get pieces out of Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah, right? It's like I don't have that many sandwich bags to pack you up and send you home, right? So
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and then I got to go back, and you know, this you know, the sister ain't going to be overly thrilled at this particular moment.
Have my head, and
the wife ain't going to be happy. So really,
yeah, I know. But anyway, so yeah, it was really fun,
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So you, now you're back, and you're
back. I'm back. I
got ready to go. Tomorrow. You gonna wait till Wednesday?
I was working. I was working there already, so I was doing some stuff. I owe Pet People an article on pop-up shops, and how pet folks can take advantage of pop-up shops. So I owe that at the beginning of January. So I got to do that. I've been working on a content PR strategy for IntoLocate, which I got to keep going on, which I think is going to be pretty cool. I got all these things I got to do. Like I got all these guys, Mutlux, I got to finish their strat planning and what that looks like for them for 2019. Get a meeting together so we can get going. So yeah, I got.
It's okay though. You got some stuff you got to get buried, right? Yeah.
But really good thinking things, you know, like sometimes you get jammed up doing.
That's where I'm at right now. I got a few task things I have to kind of, like today. I think Amelia's got a brunch with some girlfriends or something, which gives me like probably 2-3 hours where, you know, a task that, you know, a job, what do you call it? Not job interview, a job application. I got to fill out, not for me.
Okay.
Or create.
Yep.
Can't think of the word even. You know, that's how excited I am about that.
Okay. Okay.
Job description, post it. Do you know what I mean? Like all the fun. Yeah. I got like admin shit today.
Yeah.
Which is okay. It's, you know what? It's actually nice. It, you know, it's actually too bad. Today's actually nice outside. I'm looking at the North Shore Mountains. There's snow. Nice. And it's just stunning, right?
Yeah.
It's yesterday.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I got shit to do, but
no big deal. Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you. I hear you. What about, so what's your new year look like? Like, what do you got going on?
New year's going to be pretty much, it's just continuation on, right? I mean, it's almost like, you know what, buddy, it's almost like the old days. It's not back to work, but it's nice in the sense that it's back to that steadiness I've got. Every day there's something to do. Like, you're just, I still want to do what we talked about. I still want to go find another one or two.
Yep.
And I was meeting with somebody yesterday morning. I work Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
Yesterday I had a meeting. So like, yeah, I'm out hustling to see if I can, find a couple of new small ones.
Yeah. Have some fun.
Have some fun, right?
Yeah.
We got into a discussion because our podcast obviously didn't record well for Mexico City.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So now we're doing the Thursday night podcast, Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Still for a Tuesday morning release.
Still for Tuesday morning. Yeah.
Definitively, you and I.
Yeah.
Listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
But no, we were talking about, we got into the spend thing. Like, where do you spend the money?
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, and I have sort of dropped it from the other day. It's whether, you know, is it trade or consumer? And, you know, the person I'm dealing with is a very bright CMO. And, you know, she's totally wanting to spend as much as humanly possible on consumer and really almost exit trade tomorrow.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've got a team that can't grasp that because they're so trade focused.
So trade focused. Yeah.
Right. And the product we have is definitively could go right to consumer. We really don't need anybody in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And ideally every penny we spend really and truly, the only reason we should spend the trade is because we have to. Not because it necessarily makes sense.
Yeah.
In terms of a marketing play, it just makes sense in terms of a relationship play. You know, and the money probably should just be dumped in there.
Yeah.
Just to hang on to the listings. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I was asking you last week and we didn't really get a chance because it was popping off. Is where do you go with that? Like, in the sense that I'm kind of with her. Like, I don't think to be honest, if we didn't spend anything in trade, I really think it'd have a minimal impact, especially if we dropped it all into consumer and help push the consumer to trade if we wanted to.
Yeah.
Because I don't mind them buying in retail. I have no issue with that.
I
just don't want to give the retailer the money to do the work because I know what's going to happen. It's going to be a hard copy flyer.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit that spend's not a good spend.
Yeah. But so do you think from so your consumer base, is it big enough to go, like, do you think your size of volume is good enough? Like, so if you go direct to the
market in general is good enough.
Yeah.
In the vitamin category.
Okay. Right?
That category is not, inept. Online.
Right.
If you think about of any category, there's many categories, but that is a category definitively that people start looking for info or ideas online.
Yeah. Correct.
They're not going to the doctor to talk about that. They're not going to a naturopath. They might go into a health food store. They're definitely not going to Mass.
No, you don't go to Mass go to Mass to learn anything, right?
Like, no, at all. Well, you go to Mass to end the transaction.
Yeah.
Right? But you know what I'm trying to say? So when you look at a category like that, I think definitively, if you spent online and push them to retail or push them to an online retailer, it doesn't really matter where it goes. I mean, I have no problem because I have no issue pushing them into traditional retail. None.
Right.
I don't want traditional retail to die, so it's not going to hurt my feelings, but...
And then is the trade you're talking about? So are you spending way over and above your bare minimums with with retailers?
I guess you have to define bare minimum, right?
Yeah.
See, to me right now, like if you're in a position, if you're a small guy and you were going in to a retailer, I'd want to get my trade spend down to between 2% and 4% max.
Right.
And that's just an arbitrary, I pull a number out of my ass.
Yeah.
But I don't want to spend more than that. But you and I both came from that. What do retailers want? Probably between 10 and 15.
Yeah. Whatever you want to spend, they double it.
Or really. Triple it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, at bare minimum, double it, right?
Absolutely.
But triple it, they'll take anything
that's sort of the bare minimum. Right? But that's 10% spend, and then there's the 2% terms, and then there's the scam backs, blah, 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 blah. Before you know it, you're 16, 17%. But if you think about it, if you had a million-dollar company, would you rather give that $150,000 to the retailer? Or think about if you dump that $150,000 into a program of your own in terms of, you know, an online. Can you imagine what we could spend with $150,000?
Yeah, the only thing is just the size of prize, right? So, like, if you lose a retailer, do you lose how much
volume? I don't know.
You lose, right?
I guess it's, you know, like, I mean? It depends, I think, on the industry.
Yeah.
If you're talking an industry like this where so much could be purchased online.
Yeah.
Right? Or again, push them to a retailer. Or push them to retailers. Yeah, you might. You're right. You might lose. Let's say you lost the. Let's say it was a Loblaws. This product's not a Loblaws focus, but let's say it's Loblaws. So you're in the 500 the Loblaws stores. You know, not the whole chain.
Yeah.
You know those 500 they dedicate to.
Yeah.
So you're in 500 stores of Loblaws across the country, and you lose that. Well, yeah, you've lost a lot of touch points. But I would assume that if you're in Loblaws, you're also a massive amount of independents, et cetera.
But, well, okay, wait. So let's go back. Like, I think if you go, like, let's say it's vitamins and you go drug chain. So let's say you're looking at Shoppers. Like
Shoppers, Rexall.
Shoppers, Rexall, Loblaws, Jean
Coutu. And then all the independents. And so there's 10,000 drugstores in Canada.
Yeah. So let's say London is about 150 stores, right? Give or take.
No,
78. Okay, well, so if there's 78, okay, yeah. So let's say 80, and so let's say you lose. So, like in that situation, I could see, right? If you said, "Hey, listen, like, if I want to cut, if I'm willing to risk it, I could cut 80 stores out of my distribution, right? Like, so let's say I don't pay the minimum, and London says, "Listen, screw you, right? Yeah. Like, you're out because you haven't paid the minimum. You need to even stay in business with me, so you're out." You know, if you're
now, I better hope I have independents like pharmacists,
yeah,
or some Rexalls,
or your Shoppers, yeah, or your direct to consumer program is
robust
good enough, right, to cover 80 stores, right? But I think problem is if you're in a ton, like I don't know that a consumer program you could replace a Shoppers with.
I don't know either right now, to be honest with you. Again, I think it's more back to category specific. Like well.ca does enough business in certain categories.
Yeah.
Where, again, that's your challenge is always the same. You can't lose. It's not to lose the trade completely because you're right. Not everybody shops online.
Yeah.
Right. But that doesn't mean you can't, you know, work the independents. Mm-hmm. What happens or what your challenge becomes. Work the independence in Timmins or in Barrie.
It's a lot of work.
Trail. Yeah. It's unless you have a distributor going in.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Who's going
to
do it?
Yeah. The ROI isn't there, right? Like it's still cheaper to get to a Shoppers and say,
exactly. And that's what, and I think that's what they all know still as well.
Yeah.
I just sort of, we got into the discussion and I was kind of telling her, I said, I don't disagree with you. I think we could do a massive consumer thing, but your challenge is that, if you're in one of these accounts or a few of these accounts, you've got points of distribution that may not be able to be replaced yet or today. So you could have a consumer in Timmins, but where are you going to send them or her?
Yeah. But so there might be an interesting way out of this. I mean, it might be about, it's a little bit more work, but if you reached, you know, because Shoppers, I'm not putting words in Shoppers' mouth. So if you work for Shoppers and you listen to us, which I doubt you do, but if you do, I'm not projecting anything. All I'm saying is I think these big guys are all trying to figure out omnichannel as well. And so
they have to.
You know, well, they have to, but not all of them are do. You know what I mean? Like you and I both, we talk about this all the time, right? Like
because it's very difficult to do.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you, you know, if you're, and I'll give, it's hard to discuss. I don't want to pick on anybody in particular.
Yeah. No, wait.
Okay, same Shoppers, because they do a relatively good job.
Yeah.
Shoppers doesn't have a poor website, per se. It's not the greatest, definitively.
Yeah.
But it's got a nice feel. And most of the stores have that nice feel. So there is sort of,
I could
go from this environment. If I walk in a store, it's not massively different.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
The online experience is relatively pleasant.
Yep.
Most of their stores, because they've renovated like crazy over the last 10 years, are relatively pleasant.
Yeah.
So the feel is very good. They have a lot of locations, right?
Yep.
They're in a lot of small towns across the country or very close to towns.
Yep.
So for someone like that, maybe that is the one you play with because you can play
a little
bit more omnichannel, right?
But where I'm going with it is there a way to blend your strategies so to be able to take the money and say to these
retailers,
listen, like, but it becomes a consumer and a retailer play where you can say, listen, like, I'm not investing in a traditional flyer. Like, I only want to do...
Okay, but you know as well as I do. What's that based on?
Yeah, yeah. No, I get it. I get it.
On what's going on in the building.
Yeah.
If you had Smart London, Save On, Shoppers, Loblaws, Buyer, definitive, what we're talking about, should be done and could be done.
Yeah.
So now step back and let's look at the reality of the world. And not that they're not smart, but they're getting pressure from above because what?
Yeah.
Flyers work.
Yeah.
Okay. We have no evidence of that, but we keep saying that. We've been saying that for 50 years.
Yeah.
Right? That's fine. Sure. So now what do you do? So if they're being pressured from above to fill the flyers, get the co-op. And the argument is, well, every time we have a flyer, the sales go up. And you're thinking, that's great. Because every time you have a flyer, you also have thousands of signs in the store.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Most people have walked in your store having no idea there was a flyer on.
Yeah.
What they walked into was, oh,
yeah,
that's on sale.
Yeah.
I was buying deodorant. I was buying Menin, but Axe is on sale. Okay, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And because it's on sale, you know what? Yeah, I was going to buy one, but I'll buy two today.
Yeah.
I agree. So the flyer, the flyer was the reason I bought more, but it wasn't the physical flyer.
No, it was
the sign.
Yeah.
Right now. Yeah. So if you told someone, listen, you tell your buyer, so listen, I got $100,000 to spend with you. I don't want to buy 10 flyers at 10 grand each. I want to put all that money into an online program and I'm going to drive people to your store.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell people to go to the Shoppers and buy Phil's headphones all day, every day. And you're going to be my number one destination.
Yeah.
And a buyer's going to sit there and say, that's fantastic. Where's my co-op?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm not getting that spend.
That's
you gave it to Facebook or you gave it to Google or you gave it to 50 different bloggers. But my friends, my bucket.
It's not
my
wallet.
Bucket?
Yeah, it's not
exactly. So they'll say, well, put it into ours. And you're thinking.
Yeah. I don't know where it goes though. Yeah, that's my problem.
I don't, because internally, it's going to end up in that bargain flyer bucket, and I don't want to be in that. So if you guys did have a true omni-channel program and you really focused on the online portion of that channel, I'd be more inclined.
Yeah.
I know the Facebook ad cost me $50. How can you want $1,000 from me for it?
Yeah.
There's no value to the pro because that's what they're going to charge.
Yeah.
Right? You know that.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, you're right.
So it's hard because, you know, and the new age marketers that are coming up, they know the cost of media because I know it. You and I both, we can sit down. I can tell you what it costs to run an ad on Google and Facebook.
Yeah.
So you're telling me, well, we need $2,000 for, you know, we're going to put the web banner and a Google ad. You're thinking,
nope.
What?
Yeah.
It's like fucking $50. $100.
Yeah, you're going, I know a guy. Don't worry about it.
Well, exactly. So go back to the trade consumer thing.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with you,
but
I don't want to give it to the retailer.
Yeah.
But the retailer wants their co-op because it got stuck into the cocaine co-op game. Like once you're on the drug, you're addicted to the drug and you forget that at the end of the day, what you really want is me to drive more people to your store to buy my shit. But as a retailer, I can't quantify that quickly. Quantify co-op.
Yeah. But the flip side is the flip side is that, right? I don't know how much of it you can replace.
Don't know.
You know, through a consumer program.
I don't know that either. And again, you know what though? And I have no problem giving the money to, let's say, to trade, but that would, you know, what if you're a vendor, because you've come from the vendor side and now let's say I'm more on the vendor side.
Yeah.
What's my best return? I'm better off to give you a TPR and a scam back or a deal. than anything else, because I, at least if I give you a dollar and you reduce a dollar, I know exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And yeah. I know what happened last week and it happened this week. The problem is it's never that. It's to get that dollar reduction, I got to give you three.
I just think, yeah. I mean,
or 10
I just
if
think
it's a flyer.
Yeah, I just think, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's really tough, right? Like,
but you think about it, when you're talking to people who, let's say, not younger than you and I, who grew up more in digital, and you're trying to explain to them, say, listen, I need the flyer. Yeah. Think, I don't want to pay for the flyer. Think, yeah. I know you don't want to pay for it. I understand.
Yeah.
You. But that's not relevant.
Yeah.
Because that buyer still needs the 10 or 20 or 30 grand for the flyer.
Well, and the problem is, you know, you still need them. Right? Like, you know, because you can't replace all that volume online, even though regardless of how good Facebook is, right? You can't replace all that volume, right? Like that's why direct to consumer brands all wind up going back to retailers, right? Like they all start, you know, like Harry's or Dollar Shave Club, all these guys start on their own, but they hit like 100 million and then they got to go to retail. They got to open stores because there's no way to replace the rest of that volume.
Well, if 90%, right? if what are they saying? What's the number at? Let's say, what are they anticipating, 20 or 25% of all purchases in retail by 2025 will be online?
Yeah.
Well, where's that 75 coming from?
Yeah. It's still retail. Well, right now, I mean, we're still there. We're at like 15, I think we're at 15
or 16 or
18% or something like that, right? And the rest is bricks and mortar, right? And you're seeing everybody else go to bricks and mortar, right? Like even the superstars, the Warby Parkers of the world are opening stores, right? Because they have to. So
I guess what it is it's, you know, the unfortunate part for small brands or brands that you're stuck with a model that you don't necessarily want to get out of, but you need to shake.
Yeah.
I can't pay $10,000, $20,000 for that stupid flyer.
Yeah.
I can't worry about your profit center.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how we can mutually grow our business.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm willing to help or put money into your programs. You just got to realistically sit back and say, guys, you know, You can't do the $10,000 ad. The ad is maybe now $2,000.
Yeah.
And I'll give you heavier discounts or scam backs, or I'll give you $2,000 for the flyer. I'll give you $1,000 for your social media and let me run $500 worth of social media.
Yeah.
And that $3,500 spend is better for me. But you've got a $6,500 deficiency now in their bucket.
Yeah.
And they're not gonna get that back in the traffic that comes to the store. That is a profit center. Mm-hmm.
But I think also for small brands, this is that moment where, because retailers are the addiction for small brands, right? Like small brands, 100%. You know, they all go, you know, the most brilliant thing about retail in the new age is, you know, being able to go direct to consumer and sell the stuff, right? But as soon as everybody gets the opportunity, they sign up with a retailer and that's what screws them, right? And so almost
it does, but it also legitimizes them. And I think that's why you do it. If you're in Shoppers, you're thinking, I'm across the country. I was on Amazon and I was across the country too.
Yeah.
But nobody can really CC it. I can't send my friends, you know, like you kind of, when you're in store and you're on a shelf, it's a different feel.
Yes and no. But yes and no, right? And so that is where, as a brand, you have to, it's important to map out at what point it's important to be seen on a shelf versus a digital shelf, right? Like you can get to the big brands that do it, the Warby Parkers, the Dollar Shave Clubs, they get to 100 million before they really have to worry about, you know, 100 million is kind of the magic marker point, right?
But they still have to worry about it.
You know, but when you hit 100 million, you go, there are no more growth opportunities online. I have to go and open a store, or I have to go with a retailer, right? But most of the brands you and I talk to, you know, at $8-9 million, well, anywhere from 5 to 15, you don't have to worry about going to a store yet, right? And so, almost like where what you're talking about is, I think it doesn't help you in your current situation, but I think what I'm saying to little brands is, really think twice. Like, this is when you do want people like us to be able to wander in and say, here's what it costs you to be online. Here's what it costs you to continue to find consumers on your own. And then here's what it costs you when you sign up with Shoppers or London Drugs or Law.
Anybody of size.
Anybody of size.
Any of the, though, they all take your money.
Yeah.
And not badly. All good people. Nobody's out for malintent. Yeah. Well, except, you know, one of the, maybe the big guy. We won't talk about them.
Guys,
but for the most part, most want to do well for you and for themselves, obviously. And they have consumers that they want to please.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's very difficult. And that's where you and I do come in. Like, again, I'm not telling people not to go to retail. You got to understand the mechanics behind it.
Yeah.
Is, you know, you do $1 million in sales.
Yeah.
And if you're solely in retail, you're going to be spending $100,000 plus.
Yeah.
In spend. If you were $1 million brand strictly online and you spent $100,000, I'd be thinking, wow, you've really, holy shit, man. Like, you are spending.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a big spend. In the retail world, buddy, you know as well as I do, $100,000 is not a big spend.
No. You would spend $100,000 to get listed, right? Like in Canada, in the US, you don't have listing fees, but in Canada, you've got listing fees. So $100,000 gets you listed in the top 15 retailers in Canada. That's it, right? there's nothing else, right?
Yeah, like
that's,
world, and
that's, well, one that's of one SKU. Free. That's yeah, one SKU, right? Like, so we used to pay that. Yeah. Like, I think it's like $75,000 to get one SKU listed at the top 12 to 15 retailers. That's it. Like, just here's the paperwork. Here's that it gets on shelf. And, you know, I'm like, my information is dated for sure, right? So it's probably even, maybe it's only the top 8 retailers now, but
yeah, probably.
But
at that point, you know, that's a big chunk of change.
Yeah,
didn't get anything yet.
No.
You got an item number, a shelf label, a spot.
Yeah. Nothing else really, right? Like you're still, you know, distribution, you've got to figure all of that stuff out. You got to make sure it actually makes it onto the shelves. Like all of that stuff is on you, right? Like that's not even the retailer. The retailer just said, listen, I got you hooked up in the system. You got a number. Don't call me, right? Because you don't have any volume. I'm not interested in talking to you, right? So it's, you know, taking on a retailer is it's almost like taking on a partner in your business, in a sense, if you're...
I think it's totally that. I think that's where you got to be a little bit more thoughtful. So, you know, and that's why I tell people, and there's a reason why I would push people probably away from the nationals when you start and play with the regionals.
Yeah.
You go to a line of drugs, you can actually have a relationship with the buyers, right? Where, they've got their job and they need to do what they need to do. But they probably will work with you. If you were in Ontario and I think you hit like a Longo's, or people like that, Lawton's in the Maritimes, it may not be the greatest in the planet, but they'll work with you at least.
And you can learn,
right? And you can kind of get a feel for,
and
then go up into the monsters who really don't give a shit. Right?
Yeah.
Because they're not driven that way.
Yeah. And if you do, then you wind up, you know, what you're trying to do now is help your partner with, okay, like how do you balance all this crap out, right? Because you've got a partner here who's eating up a chunk of change that's driving.
Our partners. You know,
that's driving kind of like big volume quantities, but strategically isn't going to help you, right?
No.
Which is where you're jammed up now is, look, I've got to keep paying this bare minimum, but now I don't have enough money to go out and do the things that actually grow my business.
Exactly.
So, you know, you do get jammed up, right? So,
right. But again, that's when, you know, sort of what we just finished talking about is that when you're running with a new product and your whole focus is getting retail distribution in today's world, I would do what we sort of alluded to. I would obviously grab a few retailers, especially regional.
Yeah.
You can get to know a couple of regionals. Yeah. Nice. Because it's nice to have, you know, a couple of POs, nice to move some volume, nice to have some presence.
Yeah.
But I would focus a lot more on the independents.
Yeah.
And I would focus a lot more online. And I would start to see if I could sell online. Because once consumers start demanding online, bottom line, guys, 85% of consumers still like go to stores.
Yeah.
So they'll start asking you.
Yeah.
Hey, I bought it on Amazon. That's wonderful. Is it available?
Yeah. Where can I buy it?
Local, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And at that point, you get a few people telling about the same local blah, blah, blah. You can phone that blah, blah, blah and say, hey, I've got, you know, 6 customers who really like to purchase product in your store.
Yeah.
This is what I'm doing. And all you may have, again, if the retailer's savvy, they would say, yeah, you know what? That's awesome because it's built in demand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, obviously, you have products and you're ready to go. Sure.
Yeah. Let's do it. Yeah. Yeah. I hear you.
Right. Again, yeah. it's, and that's what I was struggling with is that as much as I get, I want to get out of trade too, because I understand the expense of it, but one, I can't spend that money. I can't spend enough in consumer to make, yeah. to make up for that.
Yeah.
And the reality is the trade doesn't give a shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you.
Right.
Hear you. Yeah.
The trade wants their money.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Interesting.
Well, it makes it fun though, right?
Yeah. But, yeah.
So, and if there's a lot of small people who just listen to this and have no freaking idea what we just finished talking about, that's when you should reach out. Send us a quick note. Yeah. We'll tell you, we'll walk you through, because all we're trying to, all we're talking about is you got a product that's a cool product. Where do you go? And understanding the pitfalls of all of it.
Yeah.
The retail is great, but retail is not cheap. There's a cost to you to play with them.
Yeah.
And it's not the cost you think of, you guys. It's not, oh, I'm going to go have to run ads on Facebook. No.
No. You wish. It's the cost you wish.
Of actually getting
it was that
in
simple. Yeah.
It's staying on the shelf.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Right?
I agree.
So
I agree. Yeah.
Anyway, that was the week. It just it hasn't left because, you know, it's one of those ones that is we've talked ad nauseum about, and I've tried to push more people online, but it's hard to walk away from retail, mostly because I don't want to walk away from it.
Yeah.
But I wish I could manage the costs.
Yeah.
I wish we had more control of the actual costs, and we don't, because it's not for us to control. It's the retailer has to control it because they're getting pressure from.
I guess for you, it might be about just, you've definitely thought of this, but I mean, I guess it's just siphoning how much you can, right? Out of,
that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Like that fine dance of like, what's the bare minimum I can give the retailer to keep them from squawking and yelling and then dumping the rest into
and consumer. Which retailer is it?
Yeah.
So let's say we were in a Shoppers. I know we're not going to win that battle.
Yeah. Yeah. The Shoppers battle, the Loblaws battle, the Walmart battle. It's it's just so it's an endless bucket, right? As soon as they know that you get an extra penny, they're going to take it.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
Yeah.
So with those ones, when you're trying to, you know, and again, now if you're heavily weighted in those guys, you're going to have to go out and probably start doing thing and trying to balance your world. If you're not
start unweighting them.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. That's it. That's your answer.
Yeah.
Again, it's all easy to talk about on a podcast.
Yeah.
But in the reality, you're sitting down, you're thinking, holy shit, man.
I mean, that's like you're talking about, you know, if you've got Shoppers in your business, they're easily going to be half your business, which
if you're small, like, it could even be worse.
It could be 80. Yeah, it could be.
You and I know people who are in Costco.
Yeah.
And it's 80-90% of their business.
Yeah. It's hard to shake that, right? So it's not a, what we're talking about when you're unweight that's like even big companies that takes them 3-4 years to figure out how to do right. You know, and so if you're a little business, that is holy crap, right? Like that's a holy crap right there, right? So,
and that's why sometimes, you know, better to walk before you run.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the pitfalls that come with the run can be pretty substantive and really handcuff you down the road.
Yeah. Man.
Anyway, so that was the discussions last.
Crazy. That's crazy. That's super intense. Super intense. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. No, it's all good. It's fun to do because it makes you think, right? Yeah. And if you're a little bit older like us, we never had to worry about these things. Now it's kind of cool that you got a whole new market and channel out there that we never had.
Yeah. Oh, we were so jammed up before, right? Like you didn't really... It was all about, you know, minimizing the funnel to the retailer, but you didn't have, marketing had some other options, but they were never definitive, right? It was like, great, I want some more money to run TV. Well, what does it do for us?
I don't know. I guess it's on TV.
Sort of, I guess, you know, something, you know, like,
I don't know.
You never really knew, right? So, you know, so kind of neat that, you know, we've got that option now. So,
yeah, it's actually really cool, right? It is. It's very cool.
Yeah.
There's so many places out there now that you can actually do stuff.
Yeah.
And ideally, you know, you don't have to gun the retailer. You just have to learn how to manage the retailer.
Yep.
And hopefully the retailer starts to evolve.
Yeah.
Evolve with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I agree. Man. You know, we just had this super intense discussion about investing in your future. So,
Yeah. Now so, we gotta go back and figure out what the hell we're doing.
Yeah. So hopefully this helps you, and if it worries you, you should probably call us, because
well, let us know, because honestly, this the discussion is a real discussion. I've got, you know, like for myself, I do work with 5 or 6 vendors who are in those positions. They are not $100 million vendors.
Yeah.
They're small, and the percentage spend scares the shit out of them.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Just understand it's out there, and how do we, you know, how do we either mitigate it or make it work for us?
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you.
So,
yeah.
All good in the hood, baby.
So happy holidays.
Thank you. You as well. Have a happy new year.
Thank you. I will.
Because I won't talk to you till I guess the 2nd or the 3rd.
Yeah. And then, 2019. Here we come, baby.
Here we go, baby. Light her up.
All right. That's the end of this Commerce Life. We'll be back soon with the next episode. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed it. Give us feedback. Tell us what you think. Subscribe, like us, join us, share us, tell your friends about us. And we hope to see you next time with more commerce news.